Do you guys know what PTSD is? Yeah, post-traumatic stress syndrome. So obviously some people have a more chronic version, have gone through more difficult times than others, but all kinds of people can suffer from it. So I remember my family and I, we visited the United States in 2014 after Tsuk Etan. And one of the things that was shocking is, in America at least, they have these motorcycles. I'm not talking Harleys. But these other motorcycles, that when you rev them up, they sound a lot like a siren. So even my wife and I, and certainly some of my kids, when they heard the siren-sounding thing, all of a sudden had, like, you know, this shock, because we were so used to hearing sirens in Israel. A couple of my kids really took it quite, they had a rough experience in Israel when they were once caught outside during one of the sirens. And it was really quite shocking. Sometimes you can just get confused on messages, right? A siren can be an ambulance, a siren can be something positive. If we open up the fourth Aliyah, we see it's broken into kind of two parts. The Machaneh is getting ready to move. Am Yisrael getting ready to move. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells them, "Uvyom Hakim et HaMishkan, Kisa Anan et HaMishkan, Lo'ol Eidut." HaKadosh Baruch Hu covered the Mishkan with a cloud, and a cloud would guide Am Yisrael during the daytime and a pillar of fire at night. And those were the symbols of when the camp should go and when the camp should stop. Sometimes it would be for a day, sometimes a week, sometimes a month, whatever it was. But in the second half, the Aliyah deals with something else, a symbol for the clouds, as it were, and for the fire. V'idaber Hashem Moshe l'mor, aseh lecha shtei chatzotzrot, kesef miksha taseh otam. Make two great silver horns that you will use for what? You'll use it for assembly and also for telling people when to move. And they had to listen to the blasts of the Chatzotzrot. Some of those blasts were for the whole nation to assemble. Some of those blasts were only for the heads of the people to assemble. Some of those blasts were to say, let's move. Some of the blasts were to say, let's stop. Some of those blasts were to say, let's get ready for Milchama. Some of those blasts, in fact, were reminiscent of the Tkiat Shofar at Har Sinai. You have to pay attention to which blast it was. It's very critical not to confuse one thing for the other. I was reading last night, there was an article in the New York Times, which I still accidentally read. There's an article in the New York Times about Birthright, and one of the things that struck me is they were discussing, I don't know if you guys know what Birthright is, but they bring a bunch of students, people from the ages of 18 to 24, 26, whatever it is, to Israel, to visit Israel, and there was some discussion, although they brought 700,000 people over the course of the past however many years it's been, over the past two years, 25 students, you can work out the math for yourself, 700,000 and 25, the 25 get the focus, 25 students walked off of Birthright, and they interviewed one of them. They walked off of Birthright because they felt it wasn't dealing with political issues in a sophisticated way. So they interviewed one of them, and this person complained about the state of Israel not being Jewish. And I saw some critiques of that. What does it mean the state of Israel is not Jewish? This person, what do they know? Like, how deep is their understanding of Judaism? So she gave a little mantra of what she thought Judaism was, but was not very engrossed in anything. But this is just the way she felt. That's one of the problems. The Chazon Ish beautifully spells out in his book, Emunah Bitachon, he says there's a grave danger. There's a grave danger in people feeling that their emotions define what Torah is and what the Torah actually says. Because you have to open up the books. You have to study. You have to think. You have to listen and make sure you're not confusing one blast for another blast. Not confusing your emotional self for another thing. In the history of humanity, the search for the ethical way to be has been very fraught with danger. has been complicated, be it Aristotle or Kant or Jeremy Bentham. Everyone's tried to come up with new ways to think of what does it mean to be ethical, to be perfect, to be searching for the truth. But if you want to search for the truth of what it means to be Torah, you have to open up the Torah. You have to know which blast is from Tanakh, and which blast is from Gemara, and which blast is from the Mishnah Berurah. Unless you're engrossed, seriously engrossed in Talmud Torah, it's hard to know which blast is which. It's hard to think. Bemet, myself, I've had this problem. How do you know that what you're thinking is just your emotional self because you've watched too many TV programs, you've read too many novels, you've read this and the other thing, and how much is really the Torah talking, which is Avodas Hashem? And the only way you can do that is listen carefully to the nature of the blast. You have to listen carefully and delve into Torah. Every single moment you have an option to learn more Torah will have an impact on the way you think. It's a profound thing that some people, I think, sometimes miss, but you've got to know which chatzotzrot are for assembly, and which chatzotzrot are for war, and which chatzotzrot are about moving. And unless you attune your ear, unless you delve into Torah, you're not going to understand which is which. Okay.